Hello and welcome to another episode of the Good Girls Get Rich podcast. I'm your host, Karen Yankovich, and I'm excited to have Joanne Bolt here with me today. Joanne and I are going to get down and dirty about all things podcasting, which is one of my favorite topics. I have some questions for her, and I'm sure she's going to share some really, really good stuff with us. So I'm excited to dive in with her. You know, I really think if you are one of my clients, you probably have already heard me say this, but I think that podcasts are almost becoming ubiquitous. I like, if I'm talking to somebody lately and, or not talking, if I've come across somebody and I want to learn more about them, the first thing I do is I look for their podcast. And if they don't have a podcast, I'm like, wait, they don't have a podcast. So I do think it's something that if you're creating a thought leader brand is important, or could be an important piece of your thought leader brand. And Joanne is the CEO and founder of Podcast Her and the host of the B Word podcast. You're a slightly snarky Southern girl who ran a $56 million producing real estate team and then took that knowledge and started amplifying women's voices and their businesses via podcasts. Host of the B Word podcast and a top 1.5% globally ranked business podcast, Joanne has interviewed entrepreneur goddesses like Lindsay Schwartz, Ali Cassanza, and Natalie Ellis. She graduated from the University of Georgia with a 4.0 in both marketing and management of information systems. She's a number nerd at heart. And as the founder of Podcast Her, she's created the place for ambitious women to grow a podcast from a part of their business to being the business. Founder of the Podcast Her Network, where micro podcasters grow and monetize. I am so happy to have this conversation. I got to tell you something, Joanne. I get a lot of applications to be on this show, and there's very few that we accept, not because for any other reason, that there's just so many people I meet, and not every one of our shows is a guest. So your application absolutely stood out. So I'm really excited to get to know you and get to know what you're doing. So thanks for being here.
I'm thrilled to be here. What an honor.
Yeah. I saw it. I'm like, yeah, we need to talk more about this. We're not talking enough about this on the show. So tell me a little bit about your journey. I mean, real estate agent and real estate broker to podcaster. Tell us a little bit about how that all happened.
I mean, you would think that would be such opposite ends of the spectrum, right? But when I look back on the journey, what really occurred was I went from being a consultant at a top five consulting firm to being a real estate agent, mainly because I learned quite a long time ago, I don't want to work for a boss. Like, I want to be the boss. And so I started real estate and then found out I was really damn good at real estate. And so stayed in it for 20 years. And when it was time for me, you know, I kind of wrung out every piece of me in that world I could do. And it was time to move on. I looked around and was like, well, what other skill sets do I have? You know, like, I was so good in an industry that, quite frankly, doesn't even take a college degree, or didn't at that time. Now you can get a college degree in it. And so I picked up a microphone and I started talking and I started creating content via a podcast. And what I discovered was every skill set that I had as a real estate agent translated over into podcasting. Different languages, different terminologies, but the same concept of, you know, running your own business. And so that was kind of how that journey happened. I thought for a while I would be a real estate coach on my podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, that's actually kind of like that little mid-piece transition there. I thought, well, if I don't want to sell homes anymore, I'm always teaching the agents on my team, so I'll become a real estate coach. The way to scale that would be a podcast. And then the more and more I did it, I discovered that while my love for coaching and teaching women to run big businesses is strong, it's not strong in the real estate world any longer. And so now I've shifted it over into the podcasting world completely.
And is that what you talk about on the B Word podcast? Tell us a little bit about what is that. Was that your first podcast?
My first podcast was actually one called, wait for it, this is so cute that it's trifle. The Tina and Joe Show, because my friend in real estate and I, we were going to be coaches together. And so we started the Tina and Joe Show to build up our, you know, our real estate thought leadership, you know, globally, instead of just in the local areas that we were in. And then Tina and I decided, you know, I didn't want to be a real estate coach, or we didn't, you know, want to do this at the same way in the same time. And so we dissolved. And about 2 years later, actually, I started the B Word podcast. And if you were to go back and find the very first few episodes, it actually still talks real estate. It doesn't now at all, but yeah. I didn't shut it down and start completely over. I just let the B Word evolve as I evolved.
Well, and my podcast, this podcast has evolved as I've evolved as well, right? Like we, so I get that. I get that. So when you started the B Word podcast, why did you start the B Word podcast?
I really started the B Word podcast because I was in that time period of life. Some people might call it a midlife crisis, when I was trying to figure out like Joanne 3.0, who was she going to be? You know, I didn't want to be the consultant anymore. I didn't really want to be the real estate agent anymore. What could I do? And so the B Word podcast started as a continuation of the Tina and Joe show, even though it was just me. Mm-hmm. And it was teaching real estate agents how to be a really damn good real estate agent. And so that's really why I started the B Word podcast. And over time, what I discovered was I just love this form of content. And I love this form of relationship building with your potential clients. It's what I did in real estate is I built relationships. That's how I built my $56 million business. And podcasting allowed me to do that, but without the handcuffs of needing to be literally in front of you or literally handing you a cup of coffee and saying, let's go have coffee, or literally like looking you in the eye. You could form a relationship with me on your own terms and in your own time. And so that's why I stuck with podcasting. It was just that relationship builder.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. So I started my business started well way before my podcast. And this probably is going to be episode 280 something. So you know, I've got a lot of episodes under my belt at this point, but at the time I had started my business, like an online brand and online presence. And I was writing blog posts and I really do like to write, but I was getting help with the blog posts because I'm not necessarily a writer first and foremost. And I just felt like I just couldn't do another top three ways to blah, blah, blah. But it took me forever to kind of come up with a title and a theme. And most people know me for like LinkedIn strategy, but I didn't really want to have a podcast just about that. Oh my gosh. It took me forever to get off the stick and finally just do it. And at the time, so I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 or maybe even more years ago it was. At the time, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to build a podcast. I'm going to build a brand. I'm going to get billions of listeners. And because I've got a lot of followers and all my followers are going to listen and I'm going to get sponsors and I'm going to monetize this with sponsors and all the things, right? None of that.
The typical journey.
Like zero of that happened.
90% of podcasters think that's exactly what they think they're going to do. And then it falls flat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I was talking to the people in one of my programs, because a lot of the women that I work with, some of them are starting podcasts and we talk about podcasts a lot. And I just want to manage your expectations because I think it's really important for them to have a podcast. But, you know, my podcast is in the top 2% of podcasts, you know, ranked in the top 2% of podcasts. So I kind of shared my numbers with them. I go, you need to see what the numbers look like mm-hmm. for a podcast in the top 2% of numbers. I don't want you to think you're going to be getting, you know, 20,000 downloads a week, because you're probably not, you know, you're probably going to get nowhere near that. And I did it literally kind of transparently to say, I still think you want a podcast because it does help your brand. It helps because what it helps is people get to know, like, and trust you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So while I do love doing my show, it's never been monetized via sponsors. It's always been monetized via driving people to my own products and services. And that is where it's so valuable for me. And, you know, I'm always looking to see what's happening out there. So what are you seeing?
Oh, I'm seeing the same thing. So monetization can occur in so many different ways. You know, I look at the podcast and I'm like, I don't really want sponsors because mm-hmm. I listen to other podcasts and they have gotten so saturated with the commercials mm-hmm. that I've even stopped listening to some of my favorite podcasts. And so for me, I'm like, no, I want to make sure that what the podcast does is allow me to have that thought leadership, bring in people into my world to where they get to know me, like me, trust me, because you can hear my voice, you can hear how I talk, you can hear how I teach. And so when they're ready for my products, I'm the only one that they think of, you know, to join, right. to use. I don't have to do sales calls. I don't need coffee chats. I don't need all the other, I mean, I hate to say it, but dare I say it, time wasters in order to get your business, because by the time, generally speaking, you have clicked the button to join my network or join my studio, you have found me on Instagram. You've learned a little bit about me. I look at Instagram like the billboard into your business. And mm-hmm. then you've gone over to the podcast, which is it's like, you know, a lot of authors, they right. treat their books like their business card. I treat my podcast like my business card. Go yes. binge 5 episodes and you will know in 5 episodes whether you want to work with me or not.
Right.
Flat out. And right. I don't even talk about my actual business on the podcast.
Yep.
I interview other people because what we do in the studio, which is my community, is we teach women in particular how to run their businesses from start to finish with 5 main things. And so I bring people onto the podcast that are experts in those 5 main things. And so really, I'm just giving you a referral. You want the best content creation, you know, on YouTube, here's your go-to. Right. You want to learn how to do ManyChat? Here's your go-to. You want to like whatever it is you need in the business, I'm bringing yep. you the referrals. So because I do that, then they join my offers because I've already shown them the value.
Right. Right. It's exactly right. And you know, unless you're looking for, you know, 10,000 new clients a month to pay you a dollar, right? Typically, we're looking for people that vibe with us. And the yeah. podcast, I think the podcast helps me do that. You know, I talk 100 miles an hour. I'm from New Jersey. You either going to connect with that or you're not. And yep. if you're not, let's find out now, right? Before we struggle to build a relationship once you've paid me, right? So I think it not only does it attract the exact right people to me, it also, you know, I'm going to use the word repel. I hope I'm not repelling people, but it also lets people exactly know that they're not a good fit, that we're not a good fit.
Yeah. You do want to repel the people that you're yes. not going to be a good fit for and that are not your ideal client avatar, because mm-hmm. there's no sense wasting anyone's time.
Yeah.
You know, I joined in 2022 and 2023, I joined several masterminds
mm-hmm.
and I learned a big lesson. I joined these masterminds and some of them were phenomenal and some of them not so phenomenal. And I should have gone back and listened more to the host, because every single person who ran the mastermind had a podcast. And had I gone back and really listened to those podcasts, I would have probably not joined the ones that weren't phenomenal for me, because they showed up in the masterminds just like they showed up on the podcast.
Right.
And it didn't click with me. It didn't jive.
Which of course they did, right? Of course they yeah. did, right?
But the ones that did really, really well, like again, they showed up on their podcast just like they showed up in their mastermind. To this day, I listen to their podcast. Like I love right. their podcast. I'm in their world. I'm in their masterminds. I'm meeting their friends, because it's like sitting down at the cool kids table in the cafeteria in high school and suddenly realizing I either don't want to be here or I do want to be here
right.
and finding the right table to sit at.
Right. Right. And you know, it's so interesting because, you know, for so long, I would say for maybe a decade up until maybe the pandemic, or maybe even through most of the, maybe through like 2022, there was so much talk about numbers, right? Your numbers of social media followers. I need to grow my followers. I need to grow my email list. I need to grow my listeners. I need to grow my download. And for me, that's truly almost never been the case, but because what I teach is really more timeless marketing. Like who are the people you need to meet and how do you get them on your calendar? Right. Like, mm-hmm. and that's really how we're growing our business there. But your thought leader brand helps with that, right? Cause you're going to have a higher success rate of getting the cooler people on your calendar if you're showing up looking like you're worthy of their time. So all of this kind of all comes together. So even with podcasts, like if you're starting a new podcast, let's say you're only getting like 20 downloads a week, right? Or 5 downloads or 100 down, like whatever, some number, you know, even what maybe people think are low numbers. If one of those people every month or 2 of those people every month hire you,
convert.
Yeah. Right. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right. So it's really not about the numbers. It's about the conversion of the people and having the right people listening. And of course, you know, the numbers are nice when they grow, if everything is growing with it. Right. But it's not just about the numbers. And it's so, it can be disheartening sometimes, right? To see, but even for me, like there's no way on this planet, if I took off the rest of 2024 and did nothing but listen to all the podcasts I want to listen to on my podcast, I wouldn't finish them. You know, so it isn't that I don't want to listen to people's shows. It's like there's just not enough hours in the day because there's so many great shows out there. And that's the same thing's happening with this show, right? There's somebody listening and going, oh my gosh, I really want to listen to all our episodes. And they're just not getting to it, right? And it doesn't mean that this isn't a great show. It just means that it's mixed in with a lot of other great shows, right? So we have to remember that, I think, as podcast hosts. Of course, we want to drive loyal listeners and people listening to our back catalog. And I'm assuming you've got some strategies for that. And I know there's strategies for that. But at the same time, to me, the number that I care about is who's joining my program from this that listens to my podcast.
Yeah. And I want you to also remember and give yourself permission to remember the fact that podcasting comes in seasons. So your listener who has subscribed to your show may listen to 12 of your episodes this month, get what they needed from Karen, and go on to another podcast and binge that one. I think people tend to binge podcasts more than, say, social media. And then when their brain circles back around to something that has clicked in from that first time they binged you, they're going to come back to you and they'll start binging you again. So your numbers may go up and down because your followers are just binging in a season. And then they kind of, they've had their fill. So they go on to a different podcast or three or four, and then they come back to you. I know I've done that with a lot of ones that I routinely listen to. I'll suddenly look around. I'm like, I have not listened to that podcast in like 6 months, but I start back listening and I'm like, it's like a best friend all over again. And now I'm listening to 15 of their episodes, while I'm getting ready in the morning.
Right. It's like finding a Netflix series that you love that they just came out with a new season and you didn't even realize it. Now you've got like, I've got this whole new season.
And it's so good.
Right. I love that. I love that analogy. And it's so important. So give us a couple of tips around starting a podcast and growing a podcast and really making our podcast part of our business.
Ooh, I love that question. When you have to make a concentrated effort to make a podcast a part of your business, it is the long game. A lot of entrepreneurs look at things and they're like, no, we want it now. We want big splashy marketing. We want 1 million followers on Instagram because that will equate to sales. And what they're not looking at is 3 years down the line, you have started your podcast now. And in 3 years from now, you've laid so many bricks because you have formed so many relationships. Yep. You've got so many episodes that people can go back and learn who you are, that in a couple of years, when this long game, you've built brick by brick by brick, it becomes that solid foundation of your business. You can actually kind of turn off some of the other things that you're doing that are driving you nuts and just lean into the podcast because it has built the foundation of your business. So any advice I give a new podcaster is always your first 10 episodes are going to suck. So embrace the suck. It is okay. Please just start recording and get out there and don't worry about being perfect on your first 10 because hardly anyone is like you, your mom, your dad, and your dog are listening to that. And that's about it. So where you really want it to get good is about episode 15 to 20. And that's when you start marketing it. And that's when you start really you start honing in on your zone of genius and the way that you talk on the podcast and the way that you show up. So that's when you want to start really kind of marketing it out there in order to build that loyal following that will later become clients of yours. But just know it's going to take, it may not pop off for you instantly. And that is okay. And that is normal. But just like anything else you're building in your business, I mean, the first offer you did probably didn't pop off. You had to refine it. You had to figure out who your avatar was, what they wanted, how could you solve the pain point? You had to evolve the business. The podcast is the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I think too? I think that, at least kind of like in my world, in my online world, a lot of people that I know have podcasts, a lot of my clients have podcasts, a lot of them are starting podcasts, but in many people's worlds, if you're listening to this show right now and you have a podcast or thinking about starting a podcast, your audience might not be the same. So what I mean by that is you are the host. It automatically gives you gravitas and your audience is going to look to you differently because you are the host of your show, because many audiences are not necessarily as heavy podcast producers as my audience necessarily is, right? So it immediately gives you gravitas and people start to look at you like that thought leader, right? Which is a big part of creating a brand that leads to running a very profitable business. So, I feel like there needs to be some kind of consistent content every week. I think if you're running an online business, or if you're marketing yourself online, you do need to have some consistent, fresh content every week. And with the podcast, it's just, there's so many, once you record it, there's just, you can just repurpose so many pieces of it. And there's so much there. And as you get to, like you mentioned, the 10th or the 15th or the 25th episode, now you can start having conversations with people like, you know what, I did a show about that a couple of weeks ago. Let me send you the link. Yep. And that starts, again, it builds in more gravitas and more thought leader into your brand. And it, all of this leads to helping you show up like, you know, like you're worthy of people's time.
And again, it's like your business card. So right. If someone says, oh, I need to know something about that, or I would like to, a connection with this person or that person. Oh, I met them on an episode. Let me send you that episode. Oh, we talked about that. I brought in an expert. Let me send you that link. And that's how you grow your podcast as well. And your thought leadership in whatever it is you are. And you may discover, and here's the fun part, you may discover that what others view you as a thought leader is not what you originally started out.
Yes.
But the more, you know, I used to tell, and I go back and equate this to real estate, but we used to tell agents that in order to get really good at a listing presentation, you needed to teach it. You know, to master something, you talk about it and you teach it to others. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about podcasting. You know, the more we talk, the better we get at something. So you may start out thinking you're going to talk about LinkedIn. And the next thing you know, you are an expert on a certain piece of LinkedIn or using LinkedIn for something else because you keep talking about it. You keep bringing in people to interview. You keep getting better and better at what you're, you know, what you're thinking about and talking about and the questions you're asking. And the next thing you know, your thought leadership has evolved and become something completely different.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's so accessible. I mean, it's so accessible to all of us too, this, you know, podcasting. You don't need to have, you know, millions of dollars. Like I'm actually at my family's house at the beach right now. I'm not even in my office, but I've got my little portable microphone here. And of course I should have better lighting, but whatever. There's that. But the, you know, it's easy to do. It's not like, you know, I don't have a $10,000 microphone, you know? And it's interesting because a lot of people say to me, well, what do I need? I need fancy microphone. And I go, watch the news one night, like watch MSNBC and see how many of the people that are being interviewed in their house have their earbuds in.
Yeah.
You know, if Katie Couric can do an interview with her earbuds in, you do not need to buy a $10,000 microphone to do your podcast.
Correct.
You know, it's just, you just have to have something, you know,
in fact, the setup that I teach people to use, I've got a course called Press Record and I've got two setups. One is for the Mac user and one is for the non-Mac user. And both of them are under $300.
Right. Right. It's very inexpensive.
People are like, oh, I can't start a podcast. It's so expensive. Right. I'm like, if you don't have $300, we have other issues.
Right. We've got to
talk about something else in your business.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a funny story. There was a time that I was at, so our house at the beach is just outside of Cape May. And I was in Cape May. I don't know. It was off season. So I was at the bar with some friends and there was a woman sitting at the bar and she was just whining. She was whining about her life, whining about everything. And somehow I got in a conversation with her and I was like, well, cause the business coach in me kicked in and I'm like, well, tell me what you would want to do. If you could do anything in the world, if I had a magic wand, what would you want to, you know, you do anything? Where she was like, I'd really love to have a radio show where I can talk about, you know, women's issues and women's rights and blah, blah, blah. And she's going on and on. She just described this like radio show she wants to have. I like picked up her phone. I go, okay, well, do it. Like what's stopping you from doing it? Push record on your phone.
And go.
Put your earbuds in and record your first episode and then find three people to talk to if you want to have guests. And she's like, what do you mean? I go, why don't you have a podcast? Like that podcast can start this and then you never know where it's going to go, right? Somebody's going to listen that might bring you in or pay you to speak at their event or whatever. But if you're so passionate about these issues that you want to have a radio show, what are you waiting for? And I really I don't know the woman. I never followed up with her or anything, but I'm always interested. Like I'm wondering if she ever did anything or if she was one of those people that just needed to whine, you know, and be a complainer or if she truly But it was just so funny that I was just like, well, what are you waiting for then? Just do it. Like, what do you like? Record it. You have a phone right here that records.
Listen, I went to a conference in January. I cannot believe I'm about to even admit this. I went to this conference in January for podcasters and I was like so excited. You know, this was going to be great. I'm going to network with all these business owners who are podcast hosts. I'm going to really, really like this. I'm going to get so many great guests for my own podcast. Yeah. I pulled up to this conference and should have known the minute I walked in when the lady walked by me with like cat ears. No lie. There was at least 30 people at this conference that all have podcasts about cats. Cats. So
right.
And at first I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then I looked up their podcast and I was like, how are they getting this many downloads? They're talking about Siamese cats half the time, like cat habits and cat food and like taking care of cats. And then I realized there really is an audience for anything.
Yes.
And not only was there one cat podcast, but they all grouped together and they all came on this trip together because they all knew each other because they podcast about the same thing. And so I was like, they formed a community of cat podcast hosts. I'm like, there really is a listening audience for anything. The right. trick now is figuring out how to turn that into a business.
Right.
And of course, that's where my brain
went. Not everybody does.
Because strategist who looked at them and went,
same here. Yeah, same here. Because I'm always like, where's the money?
Business.
Right. Where's the money in this? I get it. I'm the same way. But there are people that don't need that, that are not looking to monetize it. And that's cool too. Right. But if you are looking to monetize it, because listen, it may not cost a lot of money to get started. It may not cost a lot to run, but there are a lot of things that you got to do every week, you know? So it's a commitment. And it's not a huge commitment, you know, but it's a commitment to get it, to get it out every week.
You got
to
show up.
Right. So I'm always looking for like how, you know, how can you monetize it? So tell us a little bit about what you, when you, you've talked a little bit about how easy it is to get started from equipment perspective. What are some ways to get started to think about monetizing your podcast?
The very
turning it
first,
into a business.
The very first thing I will always say is, do you have products and offers that you sell? Because the first way to turn your podcast into a business when you don't have a lot of downloads and you don't have sponsors coming in is to legitimately become that thought leader in whatever your service or product or offer is and turn that into your gateway into sales for right. your business. We've already kind of dived into that. I think yep. the second greatest way that, and the way that I really funded the B Word podcast in the first few years is I call it the affiliate, non-affiliate strategy. So I was an affiliate for some products like Kajabi, which is mm-hmm. where we do all of our landing pages and all of our blogs and we host our email system, and I'm an affiliate for them. So I just recorded a little mid blurb that we would put in occasionally letting, hey, fellow entrepreneurs, you know, I looked all over the place. I found this all-in-one CRM. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to have a million downloads. And I just gave a why I love Kajabi and sent them to a landing page I created with my affiliate link.
Right.
Now, I call it the affiliate, non-affiliate strategy because was I an affiliate for Kajabi? Absolutely. Did they pay me out if people, you know, registered for Kajabi? Also, absolutely. Were they sponsoring me? Were they aware that I was, you know, going on the podcast? Not necessarily.
Right.
And so when we think about needing sponsorships, I'm air quoting for those of y'all that are listening audibly. When we think about needing sponsorships, you're only thinking about the people who are signing a contract with you and paying you a certain amount of money to talk about their product. Mm-hmm. Well, what about the ones who are paying you when you sell their product, but they don't care how you're doing that? They don't care if it's on your right. podcast or your YouTube right. channel or your blog. Create little inserts, pre mid rolls for those, and then create your own landing page and send people to them. I cannot tell you how much money we made that first year because I loved a product called Sparkle Hustle Grow. And it's like it was like this box product for entrepreneurs, and you got a box every month and it would have like fun pens and a book of the month to read. And like, it was like getting a little gift to myself every month.
Right.
Well, because I love the product, I was an affiliate for it. I created a landing page for it. People would go and sign up for the product. I'd get a little bitty, you know, paycheck off of that.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a large paycheck. It actually added up over time. And so that's when I discovered that the affiliate, non-affiliate strategy was honestly for a new podcaster, one of the chef's kiss ways.
It's awesome. I love money. That. And you know, we all should be doing that. We all should be doing that. I mean, everybody that is a guest on this show gets an application, you know, gets an intake form from me. And one of the questions on the intake form is, do you have an affiliate program I should sign up for? You know, and I would say, you know, some do, some don't. I don't care. I'm not going to not have you on if you don't. But if you do, have an affiliate, then I'm going to use an affiliate link in the show notes because
absolutely,
that's how I build my business. And everybody listening should do the same thing. I have a page on my website. If you go to KarenYankovich.com/tools, it's a page on my website that's just, they're not all affiliate links. As a matter of fact, I am not an affiliate for Kajabi, but I use one of my friend's affiliate links because I know that it's a great service for a lot of my students should have it. So I send them there because I know they're going to get a little support from her, you know, so it's not even that I get affiliate payments. It's more, these are the things I use. Some of them I get affiliate links for, some I don't, but yeah, they're typically things I talk about like either on the show or in my programs. And instead of, you know, so I just have one page on my website with all the links to the things, you know, and
here to me is the best part of this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have figured this out for yourself. When you have a sponsor for the podcast, they sign a contract, they're going to pay you a certain amount of money yep. to mention them. They are now tying what they have output into what their input is. And so mm-hmm. there's a responsibility of giving UTM links and showing them, right. you know, how many right. people listened to that blurb on the podcast and right. got back to your website. And for a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in the beginning stages of podcasting, when maybe it's they're so busy holding up the rest of their business, you know, accounting to a sponsor host isn't really in their wheelhouse, you know, right. having to be responsible for that. When right. you go the affiliate route, there's no affiliate asking you every week right. for your numbers. You
right. don't they're happy when you send them a link that a yeah. business, and I love getting those checks.
Yeah. So it's like yeah. easy peasy revenue,
yeah.
sponsorship revenue without the responsibility
that's
of
so brilliant.
You know, accounting.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. What else? What didn't I ask you that we should know about starting a podcast or building a podcast?
Oh gosh. I would say that the number one thing I would tell, well, I've probably already given a couple of number one things is just get started and don't worry that the first 10 are going to suck and mm-hmm. you can do the affiliate strategy. And the other thing that, you know, the third and final thing is really just make sure you're consistent with your business. You know, if you're going to start a podcast about yoga mm-hmm. pants, yoga workouts, all the things, but your business is, I don't know, creative copywriting for, mm-hmm. you know, blog host, there's a misalignment there.
Yep.
And so what you don't want to start is a podcast that you intend to make money off of that is so different from your business, you cannot tie them together at some point.
Yeah.
Now, if your podcast is about yoga and yoga pants and yoga stances, and you just want all the yogis to like follow you, and it's just a love passion of yours, go for it. But yep. if you want to actually use it for the business, then they've got to connect the dots at some point. Otherwise, it's like, you know, it's like seeing someone show up all the time on Instagram, like super dressed up and ready to go, and mm-hmm. then having them show up on stage in front of you in flip-flops and a t-shirt.
Right, right.
When our brains cannot equate.
Yep.
Between the two, we immediately distrust someone. And so you want to make sure that you have connected the dots.
Yeah. You know, I just saw before we got on this call, and I'm going to paraphrase, so I'm not going to use the name in case I get this wrong, but there was a pretty big influencer that posted something on Instagram today that said, for the last couple of months, we've been really broad with our content, and we've never had bigger numbers, but they're not the right people.
Yeah.
We're getting all the wrong people following yeah. us. So as of now, we're going back tight. We're going back tight because we want to build our network of business, you know, business support. So I'm going to talk more about business support, more about this, more about that. It was literally just today. So that goes back to the numbers don't matter as yep. much because I don't know what the numbers were, you know, if the business growth was slower, I have no idea about any of that, but it was so in line with what I'm seeing right now, which is, you know, we've got to stay aligned with what we want and build the audience of what we want. The numbers are so don't matter anymore the way they used to 10 years ago anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's going deep and not wide. Mm-hmm. It's going deep in order to go wide. Because what yeah. you're really doing, yes. you know, if you're that health fitness coach mm-hmm. and what you and your product, what you sell on the back end is a smoothie, then you don't need to have a podcast or an Instagram account or anything else that talks all things health.
Right.
You want to talk to the person who wants to buy the smoothie.
Right.
And guess what? Right. That person will not only buy your smoothies, they will now recommend you to all their friends. So right. you're really right. using that person to go and reach their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're getting their friends when you go broad and wide. And the truth is, no, it's when you talk directly to that person that is going to buy your offer. That's when they spread the word. And that that's the best relationship to form.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. So what do you have on deck for this year? What's coming up for Joanne Bolt? And I guess we really didn't talk that much. Tell us a little bit about Podcast Her and what's going on with Podcast Her in the rest of 2024 and beyond.
The rest of 2024 is going to be bonkers. I will tell you that. So okay. I spent the last year putting together a network, and I kind of talked about it a little bit. I maybe like sprinkled it out there, but I really gathered six of my favorite podcast hosts. And I said, okay, girls, we are going to form a network because I wanted to be in some of the bigger networks because I understand visibility for your podcast can help mm-hmm. you reach your ideal client avatar.
Right.
And I said, okay, but if you're not a huge podcaster, you don't get invited into those networks. In fact, you can raise your hand all you want and they're not going to listen to you. Right. So I was like, you know what? We're going to do this our way. We're going to create the network for the little girls so that we can help them become the businesses that they want to behind their podcast. And so for the last 8 months, we've really refined and developed and put together that network that helps the average sized female podcast host get their podcast into the right ears, get the right guests on their podcast, and put together the right offers for their business so that we can connect all the dots, because that's really part of my jam is visibility and strategy. Mm-hmm. And so we are launching out May 8th. The Podcast Her Network is open to the world, I'd like to say, but we are really going to launch it May 8th so that we can build out that network where if you're not getting 100,000 episodes on your podcast, like that's okay. We have a spot mm-hmm. for you and we can help you get there. And if you're not ready for that, maybe you're just starting your podcast. We are also rolling out the community, the studio, which is where every single month I unlock a different piece of my 5-part strategy to build a $1 million business. And we focus every month on one of those pillars. And at the end of the month, we close it down and we open up the next pillar. And we just repeat this over and over because I don't want to overwhelm entrepreneurs. You know, if you go into something and you're like, oh my God, I have access to everything, you don't implement any of it very well. But if we spend a month just talking about your short form content, and then we kind of close all that down in the next month, all we're talking about is your long form content. And then we close it down the next month, all we're talking about is how to engage with your audience. You can put the pieces together and build and build and build and build. And so those are the two things that we've rolled out here at Podcast Her. And I'm balls to the wall with both of them for the
awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, we're going to definitely keep an eye on that. We'll put links to all of this in the show notes. And I know that you spend a lot of time hanging out on Instagram. Is that the best place to connect with you?
It is. My handle is at It's Joanne Bolt. And that is definitely where, yes, occasionally you may get my mini chat bot that answers, but most of the time, if you just send me a question, you're going to get me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing this. I look forward to seeing what you do. I love just kind of the ripple effect of women supporting women. And I love that you're doing that. So if you're listening to this show and you loved what you heard today, I would love for you to take a quick screenshot of this and share it on your social media. Tag me, tag Joanne, so that we can share your share with our audiences. And that's how we continue that ripple of supporting women. Here with the Good Girls Get Rich podcast and in my She's Linked Up programs, I just want there to be more wealthy women in the world. I think women with money can change the world. And I love that Joanne is committed to that as well. And we need to be in this together and changing the dynamic of women that are like catty to women that are truly in their heart of hearts supporting each other. And that's what I'm here for. So if you want to know what that looks like in my world, the links are below here as well. Grab a spot on the calendar at karenyankovich.com/call or DM me on Instagram or LinkedIn. I would say the same with Joanne. And then let's see what we can do. Let's change the world, ladies. I'm down for that. All right, Joanne, thanks so much for being here and good luck with your launch of your network.
Thanks.